KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 37th Annual Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through Sunday, April 28th at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Oregon Potters Association's 37th Annual Ceramic Showcase and Sale features work by over 150 Oregon Potters Association members. It is one of the largest all-ceramic artist shows in the country, and the showcase features sculptures, wall art, jewelry, tiles, functional pottery, and more. Again, that's the Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through Sunday, April 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next on Fight the Empire, Pear digs into the Mueller Report. At 10, the Heather McCoy Show will welcome children's author Tracy Hecht about her new series of books entitled Grow and Read. Heather will also have Inland Empire knower Robert Larson on to discuss the city of Temecula's resolution to fight socialism and communism. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Paul Scanese, author of the new novel Temper, California. And 11:30 on The Film Show, they celebrate the glory days of weird amateur television. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. Hope you're all fighting in a mood to fight the Empire. My name is Per Fogring, and this is KBOO, your radio station. You make it happen. Well, the Mueller report has been out now for a while and been getting a lot of attention. People have been focusing on the Russian meddling narrative. And it's based on, which is mostly based on a hack or a leak of material from the Democratic National Committee. And one thing about that material, it was sort of two parts to it. It was Hillary Clinton gave some private talks to some Wall Street insiders, for which he was paid quite a fee, I understand. And the private talks were at odds with her public rhetoric. And the other part of the DNC material was it showed how the DNC had sabotaged Bernie Sanders' campaign in favor of Hillary Clinton's. So those are the two main parts of it. And the thing to keep in mind is that this is truthful information. They weren't lies. They were true facts. And it was stuff that the public had a right to know about. So whoever brought that out was really, I think, doing a public service. Another thing that's very interesting is that the DNC would not allow the FBI to test their computers. So the FBI relied on a group called CrowdStrike, which sort of did the testing and reported their results to the FBI. So the FBI was getting this stuff secondhand. So those are two very important things. It was truthful information that we had a right to know about, and the FBI never actually had possession of the DNC computers. Well, let's go to William Binney. William Binney was he was with the NSA for 30 or more years, and he was a technical director. He's also a whistleblower, and he has said publicly that the DNC material was leaked. It was not hacked. It was leaked by an insider. And he bases this on the time signatures on this material, and that there was not enough time for this information to be hacked and sent to where it was sent to. It's he also, another thing he said is that the NSA has what they call metadata on everything, on all communications in this country. Metadata is sort of if you make a phone call, say, to your aunt in L.A., the metadata would be that you made this call to L.A. at a certain time to a certain person. It does not. It's not what you said to your aunt, but it's the fact that you made this call at a certain time to a certain place. And the NSA had all that metadata stored away someplace. So anything that was hacked would be in that metadata that the NSA has. And if they haven't made it public, it's because it doesn't exist. That is what William Binney says. So here we have an expert, and he's been with the NSA for all this time, and he's a technical person. And so we have an expert with evidence, but he was never interviewed by Mueller. So this is really kind of, if this was a thorough investigation, you'd think they'd want to talk to a guy like William Binney, but they never did. Binney has been interviewed by Jimmy Dore, who is a comedian and also a commentator. And if you want to hear William Binney, see William Binney, you can go online, look up Jimmy Dore, that's D-O-R-E, and William Binney, and the interviews are on YouTube. They're very interesting, and they're available. Anybody's got a computer and get online. One thing that William Binney says is that, Robert Mueller says is that Julian Assange's account is false. Assange says that the DNC, it was the WikiLeaks that published the DNC material, and Assange says that it was not hacked, that it was leaked, and I think he wouldn't name the person who brought the material to him, but he did offer to testify to the Mueller investigators, but they never interviewed him either. Although they did, I guess Mueller saying that Assange's account is false, but never interviewed him. So what we have from the Mueller investigation is we're given a obviously incomplete account. Now, so the book of the investigation includes about 400 pages, and I'd love to get a copy of it. It's hard to read it on the online, but it's in some ways a very thorough. It goes into a lot of details, but it's incomplete, and we are expected to accept it as some kind of holy proof or something. Thing to keep in mind here is that the investigation is just that. It's an indictment, but it is not, hasn't been tested in any court. But a lot of people are accepting it because it has some really bad stuff to say about Donald Trump. There are so many bad things to say about Trump that it's hard to know where to begin. But I find very interesting that Trump is being challenged on all sorts of things that came out of the Mueller investigation, but nobody's challenging Trump on his reckless warmongering. When you think what he did in Iran, he abrogated the nuclear treaty that we had with Iran. Apparently, he he dropped out of that treaty mainly because he's ticked off at President Obama, who negotiated it. And so Trump has this thing where he's got to undo anything that Obama ever did, and that nuclear treaty with Iran was one. So now, having dumped the nuclear treaty, Trump and his cohorts, John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, they are threatening sanctions on Iran. They're increasing the sanctions on Iran, and they're also threatening any other country that does business with Iran. They are really bullying not only Iran, they are bullying the rest of the world, and they're doing the same thing in Venezuela also. But people who want to challenge Trump for all sorts of other things, they don't really say anything about Iran and Venezuela and his warmongering. You know, Trump has, there are so many real crimes committed by this guy, but why this focus on what they call Russiagate? Well, I think there are some reasons. One is that Hillary Clinton and her staff needed somebody to blame for their defeat when Trump was elected. There was a book out that describes their how Hillary met with her staff on election night, and that's when they settled on sort of blaming their defeat on Russia. And this already had a history of antagonism to Russia. Can we remember Victoria Nuland, who was when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State under President Obama? She dispatched Victoria Nuland to Ukraine, where she took part in this Maidan uprising. She was there on the street passing out cookies to people and supporting them. She talked about how the U.S. has spent something like $5 million undermining Ukraine. And she was also recorded talking with, I believe, the ambassador to Ukraine about who would be in charge once Viktor Yanukovych, the supposedly pro-Russian president of Ukraine, was driven out of office. And they settled on Mr. Yatsenyuk, and she was quoted, this is Victoria Nuland, was saying, "Yats the man." That's what she said, and sure enough, when Yanukovych quickly left Kiev, and have to remember that he was elected president. You had people in the streets overthrowing an elected president, supported by the U.S. and the person of Victoria Nuland, handing out cookies to people, and picking a successor to Mr. Yanukovych. So this is probably Hillary Clinton had this history of antagonism towards Russia. Another reason why this Russian interference story is being pushed, I believe, is that the U.S. for years now has been telling the world that our system of democracy is really the best there is. We are the leader of the evolution towards democracy in the world. Well, if our system is that great, how come it put a guy like Donald Trump into the White House? Because that's exactly what happened. He played the system for all it's worth, and the system rewarded him, and he is president. And it just makes you think that in this case, when they talk about Russiagate, it's not so much bringing down Trump or finding damaging information on him, because there's plenty of that already. Their real target is Russia, I think the Democrats and the neoliberals, they want to keep, they would like to bring down Trump, but keep the wars going. And in this line, we might say that Jimmy Carter had said some very interesting stuff. He gave a talk to his hometown church in Georgia, and he was saying that the U.S., he called it, quote, the most warlike nation in the history of the world. That was former President Jimmy Carter. The U.S. is the most warlike nation in the history of the world. And this idea is this focus on Russia, I think is really kind of alarming, because there are a lot of liberals, including a few people I know, they're calling Trump a traitor, a real traitor. And this, to me, this is war talk. When you call, for one thing, legally, a traitor requires some kind of a designated, you have to be at war to be a traitor. And so calling Trump a traitor is war talk. And it makes me think of a past history. Back during the Vietnam War protests, you had little gangs of goons who were beating up war protesters, calling them traitors. So Trump, to me, is a very odious, unhinged person. Should not be in the White House, but to call him a traitor is very dangerous. But I hear that word being tossed around a lot by supposed liberals. As far as Russia goes, you look at what they are doing now. There are a lot of shortcomings in Russian society. They are moving in their own way towards a democracy. But putting NATO troops on the Russian border is not helping that process. I don't think the U.S. has any real intention of boosting democracy in Russia, because you can see what the U.S. did during the years when Boris Yeltsin was president. There was some big-time looting going on and big-time meddling. In fact, we boasted about it in the 1996 election when Boris Yeltsin looked sure to lose. We sent... we provided all kinds of money to Boris Yeltsin, and we sent all kinds of advisors and PR people. The U.S., I have to say, the U.S. is very good at PR work and just kind of putting a spin on anything. And that's what we did in 1996. Time magazine had Boris Yeltsin on the cover. And they had boasted about how the U.S. had helped him stay in office. Well, if you want to comment on this, give us a call. Number's 503-231-8187. What do you think of the Mueller report? Do you think they've got the real goods on Donald Trump? Or are they kind of misleading us? Or what do you think is going on? One thing I did a little digging about... one thing that has been spoken out against Donald Trump is the history of his attempt to build a Trump Tower, a big hotel in Moscow, and all sorts of shady dealings. He apparently, one of his underlings was a fellow named Felix Sater, who was a Russian-American, lived in Brooklyn, kind of an odious person himself. And there was all kinds of shenanigans going on where the Trump people were trying to get permission or in building the Trump Tower in Moscow. And what's overlooked is that... I think about a dozen American corporations do have hotels in Moscow. And you have to wonder, how did they do that? How did they accomplish that? Did they have to do all the stuff that Trump is accused of doing? Hey, we have Robbie online. Good morning, Robbie.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about the Mueller report. Quite honestly, this whole thing just seems like a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It seems like this is exactly what the war machine wants. They want the coup to go down here in America. They want us divided left versus right. Meanwhile, the people who are creating this whole mess are getting away, as far as I can tell. I think the Mueller report was actually used to cover a bunch of tracks. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, what tracks are they covering?
Well, this is what I was going to bring up here, and I don't want to discourage your listeners from what I'm about to say, but the Seth Rich conspiracy theory, which was supposedly debunked, I want all your listeners to go watch Seth Rich's family getting interviewed less than 2 days after he was murdered. The family, and it's a really weird interview, which is what actually started the conspiracy theory. It wasn't Julian Assange, but basically when you watch his family, they say, oh, we may never find the killer. And I just want to ask any parent, if your kid died in a botched robbery, and then in less than 48 hours, you're saying that they might never catch the killer. The thing is, there are very obvious things. So like the Mueller report didn't bring up the actual targeted strike. They didn't bring up the, what am I trying to say here? What's the word? It wasn't Casper Key. It was the little bear, the big bear, the hacking tools that were used, supposedly. They didn't touch any of that. What they did bring up was just that, it just seems all so convenient for the establishment to keep doing what they're doing, which is perpetuating war, dividing us up. A lot of people don't know this, a lot of people do, but a lot of people forget this. Donald Trump was a Democrat until the year 2010. Bill Clinton told Donald Trump when to run when he announced running in 2015. There is a Washington Post article where Donald Trump was called by Bill Clinton and they discussed politics, and it was weeks before he announced, and it was right after Hillary Clinton announced. All I see is the establishment war machine trading USD oil across the thing, and I see the Federal Reserve doing this, and right now all I see is Democrats blaming Trump for everything. But if this, I've been an activist most of my life, Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, these huge actions and events that I've taken part in, all started under the Obama administration. I'm not blaming Obama for this, but I'm saying America's been on this same path, but now we have this distraction in office, which is going to be ultimately used. Here's how I know it's a distraction. The first week in office, Trump gave out a memo to the press saying that he wanted women to dress more women-like. This is entirely just to make people upset. This is trying to get people to point fingers at each other, at Donald Trump. But meanwhile, the establishment that put him in place, the media powers, which gave Donald Trump all the airtime he needed, the media powers which shunted down Bernie Sanders, these are the powers that have been interfering with our election.
Well,
that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay, well, thank you for those points. We got somebody, I think we got Jack on the line. Good morning, Jack.
Yeah, as for the Russiagate thing, I would encourage people to look up what has been written on she has written and what she has said in interviews. This is Colleen Rowley.
Mm-hmm.
She's a retired FBI special agent and division legal counsel. She's written on Mueller and Barr and their history of cover-ups. I mean, these guys go back before most of the people that are all flummoxed about this Russiagate weren't even born when these guys were covering stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way, way back. And their biggest cover-ups, of course, were all the stuff around 9/11, the 9/11 commission cover-up. And Mueller was brought in to make sure that that doesn't get picked apart. And it's just amazing. But I would recommend, if people want to look at this, there's the IPA, it's Institute for Public Accuracy, has several articles on or by Colleen Rowley.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a member of the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity.
Right, I was going to mention that, yes.
Yes. And she's out there talking about it, this Russiagate is quite a ginned up affair, and started with this Steele dossier, which has been totally debunked.
All right, I was about to get into that, but not enough time. Actually, we got another caller waiting, so
thanks for covering this.
Thanks for bringing up those points. Look up Colleen Rowley. That's Rowley. See what she has to say. But do we have somebody else on the line? Ralph is on the line. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. But first of all, thanks, Pear, for being on a KBOO for so many years. You're a valuable resource, and
thank you.
I appreciate you. Just one thing, as far as this Russian collusion goes, do you remember when Putin got before both houses of Congress, standing ovation after standing ovation? Do you remember that? Wait a minute.
No, I didn't.
That was some other foreign leader who can do whatever he wants, and now we're going to have an illegal settlement in the Golan Heights named after Trump.
Right, along with Fort Trump in Poland.
Why are we looking at that kind of collusion?
That would be good, yeah. Plus Fort Trump in Poland, too. That's something else that's in the works. Well, thank you.
The world's gone crazy. I mean, jeez, come on. People.
Right,
Wake up.
I think Trumpism is infecting us all. Anyway, we've got another caller online. Murray's on the line. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning, Pear.
Yes.
Pear Fagrin, I want to thank you for bringing credibility back to KBOO, which is
KBOO's always had credibility.
Now you listen to Abe and Joe.
They have their points of view.
MSNBC line every time they're on, and it just drives me crazy because that is anti what we're trying to do. We need to uncover the truth of what malfaction happened, and then we can get to the truth. So thank you very much for this show.
Well, thanks for that pat on the back. Anyway, I listen to KBOO a lot, and I think we all should. We have a lot of different points of view. I think we should all kind of talk to each other a little more and debate some of these points. But anyway, that's what KBOO is all about. I mean, I've been trying to bring this information to you, and we try to be factual, and I try to get my information from a lot of different sources. A person who brought up Colleen Rowley, I would look up her. She was a FBI agent who was sort of a whistleblower. Also, like I mentioned before, go online and look up Jimmy Dore, D-O-R-E, who had a really good interview with William Binney all about the leaking of the DNC material. It goes into great detail, and this is good information. It's on YouTube. Just go online, William Binney and Jimmy Dore, and it's there for you to watch and listen to. So I think the show is almost over. It's all about keeping informed, keeping up to date on what's going on. As Teresa has said, the news you're not supposed to know. That's what KBOO is here for, to bring you the news you're not supposed to know, points of view that you may agree with or disagree with. But let's have it all out and talk to each other. That's what we do here at KBOO, your radio station.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Next on the Heather McCrae Show, Heather welcomes children's author Tracy Hecht about her new series of books entitled Grow and Read, Heather will also have Inland Empire knower Robert Larson on to discuss the city of Temecula's resolution to fight socialism and communism. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Paul Scanese, author of the new novel Temper California. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, they celebrate the glory days of weird amateur television. It's cable access memories time. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Gathering of the Guilds, Friday, April 26th through 28th at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. The Gathering of the Guilds showcases the talents of five Oregon artisan guilds: the Creative Metal Arts Guild, Oregon Glass Guild, Guild of Oregon Woodworkers, Portland Bead Society, and Portland Hand Weavers Guild. More than 150 artisans working in metals, glass, wood, beads, and fibers will be exhibiting their artistic creations, doing demonstrations, offering youth activities, and more during this three-day artisan show. Again, that's the Gathering of the Guilds, Friday, April 26th through 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.org.